I was fortunate to play at a very good basketball school. And then you go away and you coach and you think that, you know, if I ever had a chance to coach here at Maryland, it'd be great. But I never thought I'd have the opportunity to come back and coach at Maryland.
Trimble with 3 seconds. Trimble for the win! Cowabunga!
A sellout crowd of 43,000 cheers Queen Elizabeth and her consort Prince Philip. Very special guests of the University of Maryland.
90 seconds to go. Vasquez for three in the lead. 78-77 Maryland.
I believe that the Terrapin is the loveliest, perhaps the most beautiful of all trees.
There's Wells to jump out, make the depth, and slam it. Yikes. Brown will take it inside the five. Touchdown, Maryland. Terrapins beat Virginia Tech.
And no handshake for the coin toss from Maryland before the game today. It is on.
Okay, grab shell, dude.
Ha-ha! Righteous! Righteous!
And breaking free for the touchdown is Jay Sean Jones on his first touch as a Terp.
You're listening to Inside Maryland Sports Radio.
University of Maryland men's basketball Big Ten champs. Print the shirts! On Maryland Senior Day, they send off Anthony Cowan and almost certainly Jalen Smith with an 83-70 win over Michigan, getting the three-way split of the Big Ten championship with Michigan State and Wisconsin and the three seed in the upcoming Big Ten tournament. Whether there be fans in Indianapolis or not, we will be here to discuss it with all of you as you are listening to IMS Radio. And today we have with us the publisher of InsideMarylandSports.com, Jeff Ehrman, football and football recruiting reporter, Ahmed Ghafir. And as always, I am your post and slightly less ill, your post. I said your post. God damn it. I'm so tired, man. I just need some sleep and be able to like breathe through my nose again. I am your host, Paul Douglas. Jeff Ehrman, Maryland won the Big Ten championship for the first time ever. Their first league title of any kind in the past decade. We had talked about this last week about how they needed to get this done and how, you know, a banner's a banner. However you feel about the end of the season, a banner will last forever. And I'm not going to lie to you, this felt a whole hell of a lot better than I thought it would.
Yeah, a banner is a banner, you know. It's obviously, everybody's still going to have that little bit of saltiness that they didn't win it outright. But it's something, and Turgeon pointed this out, and whether you like how he pointed it out or not, the way he phrased it, but Maryland's won, I think it was 8 conference titles in 101 years, he said. So, you know, that's a pretty rare occurrence. I mean, I think
your boy did some research on that, didn't he?
He did some research, and he was comparing it to the Sweet 16s that they had. Yeah, he was.
Did somebody send him the Sweet 16 list?
I don't know. Maybe he heard us talking about it, but.
Caused a winning streak before, so we might as well win them a title, right?
It's the same thing as we've said before. And how it's viewed is going to depend on how the rest of the postseason goes. If you do some damage in the postseason, then it's going to look a lot better. If you go out quietly, then it's going to be, yeah, we won it and shared it and then did nothing. So it's a big deal either way. Maybe not as much right now to a lot of people just because of how it went down the stretch. But it's going to really just be determined, I think, by how the rest of the postseason goes, fairly or not.
See, that's kind of funny because I think you might be underselling it. I mean, I don't know about other people, but we have hours and hours of me bitching and whining about the current state of the program. But when those guys were putting on hats and shirts and cutting down nets, I mean, it was awesome. Like, it felt like a thing, you know, it felt like a thing that hasn't happened here in a long time because it hasn't. I mean, you talk about Sweet 16s, too. You got one Sweet 16 since, you know, my early 20s. I mean, it's just a weird place for this program to be because it feels like a program that should be more successful than it's been. When you just talk about the basics of having success in the NCAA tournament and winning a conference title.
You're just like one out of every 13 years or so, which is really incredible for program of Maryland's stature or potential or whatever you want to call it. And especially to do it this year, as good as the Big Ten was, you know, I think that makes it a little more impressive than in your typical year. You know, they could have won it those other years when the conference was down.
Yeah, Jeff, the funny thing for me is it felt like really good as a fan, just being something that Maryland hasn't done before. Even with Turgeon, like, again, we've talked all up and down about how, you know, I've never been really impressed by his performance here. Then again, when you had that Turgeon Ant Cowan bear hug towards the end of the game, I mean, it got a little dusty up in Annapolis, you know, in the living room. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my kid's like trying to get me to read him a book or something, and I'm just fucking ignoring him and just tearing up, you know, as I'm sitting there watching the end of this game. And yeah, just, you know, he can read his own books, right? He's seven. I don't know. But I mean, it's just a weird thing because we've kind of been talking this down for a while due to Maryland's performance, but the emotion of it, and I think just the pure rarity of this kind of moment for this program, just kind of hit you in a strange way. In that I enjoyed it a whole lot more than I thought I would, and it's kind of shocking in a way how few moments this program has had in a while.
Yeah. There hasn't really been a moment like that. I don't know when the last kind of benchmark moment that you could compare to that was, but, you know, Turgeon pointed out after the game, Maryland's won 8 conference titles in 101 years as a program, which is pretty amazing.
Boy did some research before that game, yeah, didn't he?
He was on the Wikipedia page at halftime.
He said he wanted to make sure that there was context for this win.
He had plenty of context. And compared it to the Sweet 16s they've gone to, which has been 14 of them. So he was, you know, pointing out how it was, in his mind, harder to win a conference title than to go to Sweet 16, which it is. I mean, they're two different animals, but one requires, you know, several months of excellence, and one requires a couple wins.
In March,
fans,
which has been a rough month for Mark Turgeon.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, especially when you look at how good the Big Ten was this year, that makes it that much more impressive, you know, to pull it off in a year when Big Ten was by far, according to the numbers, the best conference in college basketball. And when you look at that part of it, I think it's, you know, it's a reason to maybe have a little more optimism of what they can do in March when they get out and play some teams that aren't in the Big Ten. If the Big Ten really is as good as we and the numbers said it was all season, and to tie for first in that conference, you know, should mean that you can do some damage in March against non-Big Ten teams.
Yeah, it was definitely a good day for the Jeff Ehrman theory of last week that this team might still have a run in them, because Maryland basically controlled the game from, you know, the under 12 on. And Michigan, look, this Michigan team was there to play. I mean, they shot, I believe, over 50% in the end. They were playing good defense against Maryland. Like, this was not just a team struggling to shoot or struggling to play at Comcast like a lot of teams have this year. Like, they brought it, and Maryland answered every single charge. I mean, every single time you were just sitting back waiting, oh, man, it's going to happen again. Maryland would just hit a three or make a steal and a dunk or a 4-point swing going the other way. Just, they always found a way to answer that challenge. And I just feel like we haven't seen that from this team in quite some time, despite what you've seen in some of the games during the winning streak. You know, you haven't had a game where Maryland basically controlled, you know, 30 minutes of game time in as long as I can remember.
Yeah, so much of that comes down to Wiggins and Ayala shooting the ball. You know, I think it was Maryland's most efficient offensive game of the season, and it's not hard to figure out why. You know, those guys combined for 32 or 34 points. They were combined 6 of 10 from three. It's probably the best game together they've had all season. So same thing we've said all year. If those guys could just get going, well, they got going in that game. If they can carry it over a little bit, you know, that's the biggest thing. We know what sticks. We know what Cowan can do, but, you know, this team is only going to go so far as a two-man team. So that's clearly an encouraging sign to get those guys both going off in the last game of the season.
It was unbelievable watching that happen. I mean, Wiggins has shown spurts of this throughout the season. I mean, you know, he's the Big Ten Sixth Man of the Year. Like, he's proven that on his day he can play like that. Eric Ayala has been like a CYO level player for like a month, and he just decided to be James Harden. So that's maybe not something you're going to count on happening in most games. But I mean, if you can just bottle up like 75% of that effort against Michigan, that's going to work.
Yeah, I mean, and he's got, it's not like there's a question that he's got the ability to do that with Ayala. It's clearly all mental, all confidence, you know, because it just comes and goes with him. You know, do they against a really good team like Michigan. So, you know, going to the postseason now, you got a little more off the bench. I think the bench played okay. You're still not going to get much out of those guys. That just is what it is. But now we see if they, you know, how far they've truly come. They've lost first round of the Big Ten tournament 3 years in a row. Anthony Collins never won a game in the Big Ten tournament, which is amazing. Though, you know, it's nice to have the double bye. On the flip side, you're not going to get that first easier opponent in. So maybe you end up playing Penn State again if the seeds go true to form. And we all know that Penn State's given them a lot of trouble in the past few years.
Yeah. Before we leave the Michigan game, props to the quote unquote turd lineup that went out there for a while, which was like what Tamayich and Sorrell and Hart and like Ayala and some, I mean, and Lindo, I think like it was like a pure like old school Turgeon, you know, under 12 line change. And they were +3 in that 4 minutes, which, as much as Serge's been talking about how tired the team is and how much these guys need a bit of a break, you know, if those guys at the end of the bench can come in against a Michigan team that was really playing well and just, you know, keep things from capsizing, that's, you know, you're not going to start saying, oh, now we're 9 deep. But, it, you know, those 4 minutes can be golden, especially when you get a knockout scenario. So good for them. Looking forward, as you mentioned earlier, Maryland's got a Friday night game, last game of the pod, last game of the quarterfinals. It'll be, let's see, the winner of Indiana and Nebraska, which play on Wednesday night, will play against Penn State on Thursday night, and then the winner of that game would play Maryland on Friday night. That's probably going to be Penn State. Indiana's shown some signs of life, and they're certainly fighting for their postseason lives at this point, and probably Archie's job at this point, I'd imagine. Man, I'd kind of like to see Penn State again. I'm not going to lie. I feel like Maryland wants some paybacks on that one. We didn't get them at home this year, only played them up there. Maryland played terrible, but that just feels like a game where I feel better about that game personally. I feel like they can get one up on them. It's a tough matchup, but I kind of like to see that.
Maryland's playing a lot better than did at least that night against Penn State. Not at the time, they were 10-0, but and then Penn State's playing a lot worse. They really stumbled down the stretch. I mean, they were one game behind Maryland, you know, 3 weeks ago in the standings. Looked like they had with their remaining schedule, legit shot to win the Big Ten, and then they totally faded. So there is that, and there is the idea you're going in there more motivated than you ever have been with, you know, Cowan, you know, wanting to get something done in the postseason, plenty of rest, you know, a team you're not going to overlook. At the same time, I would still take Indiana if you can, just based on, I think Penn State's won, what, 3 of the last 5 or 4 out of the last 6 against Maryland, unbelievably. So I'd still go Indiana, but either way, you know, Maryland will be favored, and I shudder to think of the online meltdown if they get knocked out on that first night.
Hey man, you gotta want it, right? You gotta want it. This, yeah, you know, right. I mean, look, part of me fears that kind of team that plays an early game and gets a little momentum going. Like, I think that's why I would shy more away from an Indiana matchup, especially when they're really at the end of their rope here. But I don't know. Either way, this is a game Maryland should win.
That's legit. You do see that a lot, that kind of middling bubble team that gets their mojo going and then they go and knock somebody off the next day. So that's true.
Yes. Either way, this is a game Maryland should win. I mean, that's just, they get another, you know, they got another 5 days of rest. You know, I feel like, I'm sure they'll get some practice days in. Turgeon's been very, very excited about being able to practice a little bit with these guys. That's a game you got to win. No matter who it is, you got to win that one. And after that, okay. I mean, I'm not going to cry about losing the semifinal of the tournament, because you don't necessarily want to make that run and kind of wear a team down either. You know, we talked about this. This tournament was a whole lot more important before Maryland got that banner, I feel. Not only for Turgeon, but just for the team.
You'd take another banner, though.
Sure. Absolutely. I'm just not going to cry if they lose the same Michigan State in the semifinal. Like, that's,
yeah,
that's whatever. Go home, you know, turn up for Selection Sunday and get your, collect your three seed. All right. So Maryland, last game on Friday night, probably 9 o'clock, 9:30 start. Also, we will be having our annual Selection Sunday show with Patrick Stevens, Bracket Guru, as our guest. We'll be recording Sunday night. Hopefully we can get that out to you on Monday morning or Monday afternoon at the latest. So you will have all of that breakdown, which will be instantaneous for us and semi-instantaneous for you. I guarantee you, whoever Maryland will be playing in the first round of the tournament, Patrick Stevens will have seen like 32 times. So if you want a breakdown that really gets into the matchup, basically just off his backhand knowledge, that'll be better than probably most of what we post anywhere else. So stay tuned for that next week. Now, we'll be introducing a new segment into the IMS Radio podcast, the IMS Radio Health Update, as everybody seems to be dealing with the coronavirus and what's kind of been like a passing joke about whether the tournament will get canceled or they won't let them play with crowds or anything is starting to become a really serious thing. Jeff, you wrote an article today saying, talking about how Maryland has canceled their classes and put a lot of the spring sports and football camp on notice as to possible, you know, delays or cancellations. Can you talk about what you've heard from the Maryland side of things?
Yeah, I talked to a couple of sources at Maryland today. Basically, the administration has not given them any idea yet what the exact plan is moving forward with sports. But, you know, given that the school is going to cancel all in-person classes after spring break, there's no way you could have any games, obviously. So at minimum, I think that you'll see, you know, all spring sporting events halted for 2 to 3 weeks and then probably reevaluated at that time. It doesn't seem to be affecting men's basketball in any way. Big Ten is moving forward with the tournament. NCAA has put out some kind of wishy-washy language that makes you think that there is a real chance that they're going to at least play the NCAA tournament without fans, which is going to be the weirdest thing to watch ever. Like, imagine watching like Chris Jenkins buzzer beater in the national championship with no fans there.
In silence.
These guys are running around empty court with silence. Like, do you pipe in fan noise, or how do you make that not really strange and anticlimactic?
It's a real thing, right? I mean, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine today said that they're banning events in Ohio, in the state of Ohio, with more than 1,000 people. As my rudimentary geography reminds me, Dayton, Ohio is in Ohio, and that's where the first two games of the NCAA tournament are played. So, you know, there's going to be a, it's going to be a reckoning here, and I'm not sure how much control the NCAA is going to have over it.
Yeah, and the first four is in Dayton. So
like, that's literally just what I just said, dude. Don't steal.
I heard you say something. I totally missed that part. That you texted me during this show. I was reading your text, and that's
look,
why
you gotta be able, you gotta be able to kind of, you know, multitask here, man.
I usually can. Anyways, cut that part out.
So I did not get the text.
No, it's not. It's not for you. You're not okay. Important. Go back to work. Sorry. Go figure out your Caleb Williams response, and we'll get back to you in about 20 minutes.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a suggestion by DeWine. I think it wasn't like a ruling. So I guess they still, if they want, can do whatever they want. I don't, last time I checked, they hadn't announced any change, but
okay. I didn't see, I saw a note about it. I didn't see whether it was an actual, dictum, you know, or a
big story, and he's the governor. It is his state. So like, I would assume they'll probably have to go with that, which will be really strange. But back to Maryland, like, women's basketball is a question, because if they get a number one seed, then you would be hosting, but you can't host if you're going to close down all on campus events.
Right.
How does that work? Football camp, you know, supposed to begin March 24th, I think it is. So there's pretty much no way you're going to be able to have football camp, it seems like. So do you have that during the summer or not have it at all? It's just a whole what's the word I'm looking for?
Unprecedented.
Unprecedented. Geez, thank you.
Yeah. I'm here to do. I can just do the show by myself if you want. I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, this is a whole new situation. I can't recall anything you would even compare to it, really, at least in my lifetime that I recall. So yeah, I mean, spring sports, if you're a spring athlete or like those Ivy League kids, Ivy League basketball players that canceled their conference tournament, imagine that. You're like, if you're like the second place team in the Ivy League going into the tournament, like, yeah, we're going to, and then bam, career over. Sorry.
Yeah. So. Whoops. No, it's wild, man. I mean, I could imagine like a really kind of crazy scenario where like you're watching these teams play in an empty gym, you mic up the coaches and you just hear like Bill Self and, Mike Krzyzewski yelling at each other and yelling at their team the whole time and people talking shit on the court. Like, there's potential for awesome here, but it would just be so strange. It'd be alien.
Yeah, I think it would suck, really. I mean,
obviously everybody would rather just have a normal ass tournament.
Yeah, it's better than canceling, probably, but. I don't know. You have to figure out some way to add some sort of audio. Maybe you like, no, that one. I was going to say maybe you have live feeds from like gatherings to watch the game, but you're not going to have gatherings either.
Right. You can't even do that.
Yeah. So I don't know.
You can have like online chat rooms where like people just type their cheering in as the game's going on. You have like a computer generated noise.
The like chat beep. Room we used to have on the scout site. We'll just put that on the.
Yeah, make it work. Or you could just have like Dickie V screaming and yelling over dumb shit the whole time. I mean, I'm sure they come up with some really weird stuff for this if they wanted to.
We shall see. It feels like at the rate things are moving that, a week and a half. Selection Sunday is a week and a half away. Anyways, a little more than a week and a half. That feels like an eternity with how fast things are moving with this. So. Something's going to happen. I'll be really surprised if it just goes on as normal. Then again, there's a lot of money sunk into this thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously the NCAA is going to fight that as hard as they can. Your health and your parents and grandparents' health be damned. They're going to try really hard to get people in those buildings.
We'll be interested. And another thing, I had a conversation with a friend with how, Maryland fans always like to talk about how they have the worst luck. Like, how Maryland would that be the year that they have their best team, most equipped to maybe make a deep run in a long time?
Oh, yeah.
A tournament just, like, gets canceled?
It'd be perfect. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty sure one Mark Turgeon would be just fine if this season ended right now. He could just kind of walk away with his grill, 10,000-pound grill off his back and collect his $75,000 bonus and, turn that into a... into extension. I don't know. He's had some weird comments after this thing. I'm trying not to like dig into that too hard, but it's been a bit strange. And certainly the idea of talking about an NCAA tournament with no fans or not being played at all is just a whole nother level of thing. I mean, they've canceled literally all of the Serie A football games in Italy, which is a thing that I'd never even thought could ever happen. I mean, I'm surprised there aren't riots at this point. So, there's some precedent around the world for this, just not in the States and not to this degree. So we will see. And Maryland plays Friday night. Selection Sunday will definitely go on, I'm sure, at this point, regardless of what they do with the actual games. That'll be Sunday night. We hope to have the pod to you on Monday. As for football, Ahmed, you here?
Yes, sir.
All right. Did you do your homework?
Yes.
All right. Study for your exam?
Yeah. I'm all good.
I have two topics for you. First, being visitors from last weekend and any coming up, and then we need to talk about the big Caleb Williams visit to Oklahoma, which has everybody scared to death and probably for good reason. So take those as you will, my friend.
Yes, sir. It was a pretty big weekend for Maryland. It was a 2-day, but Saturday and Sunday they hosted guys. Saturday was just more of a laid back kind of experience. experience for just for a lot of guys to just, you know, more so going around campus, but more so just like a relaxed environment for them to have like casual one-on-one time with the coaches to build relationships. You know, some of the guys that were on campus, John Carroll, three-star running back, Roman Hembree. We had a couple of the different tight ends, CJ Dupree out of Pennsylvania. Weston Wolf took a two-day visit, Donovan Everett. So, and we had guys, Tristan Bounds, he's a three-star, he's a Bethesda native. Matthias Carroll, he's a really big defensive end out of Gilman. I really like him. Maryland's more than in the mix with him. Big visit this weekend was actually Ocean Lakes. A pair of prospects came up on Saturday, had rescheduled their visit, were originally intended to come up on Sunday, but rescheduled to Saturday. To spend more time with the coaching staff with one-on-one time. So they had Miles Alston and Naquan Brown. He's a four-star defensive end and three-star wide receiver. Maryland's in the mix with Alston. Pitt and Virginia Tech are in a good spot, but Maryland is more than in the mix with him. And it was really good to get Brown on campus. It was a big visit. I know he's entertaining a lot of big SEC suitors. And then, of course, Maryland had their QO duo back on campus. So just a really big weekend. A couple guys from Team Tampa were flaring in and out of campus as they were in the area for a 7-on-7 tournament. So no commitments, but no public commitments. But Maryland's in a good spot with a lot of these guys. Maryland, the staff did a really good job of connecting.
And do we have any potential visits coming up in next week or the next couple weeks?
Yeah, so Maryland will actually host a pair of linemen, one defensive end, Harrison Hamsley, and a offensive guard, Mark Ayudane. I'm blanking on his last name right now, but both guys that are connected with outside linebacker coach Brian Williams. So they're going to come up this weekend. And then 2023 Pennsylvania athlete, Khalil Ali. He actually, Maryland was his first offer. He's going to end up being an elite recruit, one of the big names down the line. He'll actually be back in town next week for a two-day visit as well.
Awesome. All right. So like I said earlier, Kayla Williams and Jaleel Farouk visited Oklahoma. Obviously, Maryland's been deep, deep trying hard to get these guys to come here. What's the post-visit intel at this point from your perspective?
Yeah, so obviously it was a big visit this weekend. Caleb Williams' family and some of his mentors and family friends made the trip down. You know, Oklahoma did a pretty good job of presenting exactly what they've been saying consistently throughout his recruitment. Start day one, come into a proven program, win a championship, and they pointed to their Heisman Trophy success as well. Lincoln Riley also connected with the family. That's something that's big. And I think Caleb Williams knows that he can push Spencer Rattler for his starting job as a true freshman. I would say that, you know, Caleb Williams isn't the guy that he's going to come out and say a leader or anything like that. You know, until he commits, he's going to be considering and talking to all schools. But moving forward, the large consensus is that Oklahoma has reset the bar on his recruitment. Farouk did go down with him, but an angle that does help Maryland is Farouk's interest in Maryland itself. He's been high on Maryland for years, has familiarized himself. He recently told 24/7 that he wanted to give Oklahoma a hard look. So this would be this weekend was a good visit for him to be able to, especially with Caleb, to take it in for himself. But as for now, as Steve reported last week, plan is to get Caleb down this week with on campus, talk with the Maryland staff. Thing is, for Maryland, that Caleb, he knows that he's a big piece. He's an integral piece to the 21 class and in Maryland's long-term plan, which is something that Caleb's really focused on with Maryland. Quarterback and defensive end have been the Achilles heel for Maryland for the last couple of years now. And Caleb Williams, if he were to come, that would fill a huge need and it would add a program-changing quarterback. So Caleb Williams knows that if he does go to Maryland, he would be able to attract that talent. With that said, Caleb Williams just does not know yet if he wants to go to Maryland. There's still some lingering questions. So I think the staff knows that they are in the mix, but there's still more work to be done.
Well, I mean, what can you say? But it looks like he's given us a fair shot, which I think is kind of the most you can ask for at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to be honest, in terms of recruiting, I'm not sure what Maryland can't look back and say they could have done anything differently or recruited him differently. I mean, at the end of the day, like, this will not be for lack of effort. Maryland's, you know, they're in it. So we'll see. I know, you know, Maryland is a lot of their commits are talking to him. I know Rakeem Jarrett, he was talking with Caleb Williams before Rakeem actually flipped, and I know the two still talk. But Caleb likes to keep things close to the best. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. But quarterbacks do have a tendency to commit early. Caleb has kind of backed away from naming, or I guess providing like a hard time frame for a decision. So I think the next couple of weeks will be very, very interesting in his recruitment.
All right. Well, as soon as we know that he gets on campus for that kind of extended visit, let's make sure you're hiding in the bushes. You can give us a full report, right?
Sounds good, man.
All right. Jeff Ehrman, do we have any other names or intel about the open coaching position on the football team?
No, nothing really has popped up yet. You know, same thing we talked about last time with the guys who we think, namely Azar Abdul-Rahim, who they should go after, but it's been really quiet. You know, I think that they'll have to name somebody soon. Locksley will have to hire somebody soon, especially with, well, you know, maybe if spring ball doesn't happen, he doesn't have to hire him. They can save a few $1,000
and wait write it out August. For a while.
Yeah, wait till August to hire somebody, but no news on the defensive backs job.
Okay. Awesome. Jeff, you going up to Indy for the Big Ten tournament?
Most likely I will. Yeah, that's as of now. Plan is to go on Saturday. So,
oh, man, you are tempting fate, brother.
I am. I am tempting fate. But you know what? If they can't get one win after three straight years of one and done, then it's not worth my travel expenses anyways.
Can't knock that. All right. Well, look, big week for Maryland. It's been a big year. I think you can, you know, if you start, when you start putting this season to bed, certainly it doesn't feel great sharing a championship, but a championship's a championship. You get a trophy, you get a banner. Those things matter, and Maryland doesn't have enough of them. So it's good stuff. Let's hope they can add a few more of those things to the Comcast Center. I'm not calling it Xfinity. The Comcast Center Raptors as the season finishes up. With fans or without. Thanks for listening, guys. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We're all over the InsideMarylandSports.com message boards. We are IMS Radio. We are out.